result of 1:30 race.
Result of 1:30? Oh,
insert stop press. Result of 1:30.
Time to town.
Evening news. Evening news. Thanks, mate. Rising latest. Rising latest.
Give us a copy, lad.
Oh, evening, Mr. Evans.
Now.
Her tip the winner, then.
Winner? I tipped 1,000 winners.
Educated Evans by Edgar Wallace. Narrated by Freddie Jones. Starring Roy Hutt as Evans, Andrew Sachs as Inspector Pine, Michael Roberts as the Miller, and Pat Coombs as Mrs. Rankin. This week's episode, A Judge of Racing.
In Camden High Street, a half-lit calm had settled. On a clear night, between the wheeze of the last tram and the first rattle of a dustman's cart, the stillness is rarely broken. A cat might dislodge a tile, a shutter may creak. Sometimes, however, a keen ear can detect a less innocent sound.
Now these winder catches it. That's got it, yeah. Entry gained.
At yet another window, an oil lamp flickered. In Bayham Mews, Educated Evans, leading tipster of Camden Town and often legal adviser to those less learned, was still hunched at his table. In front of him, the backs of several betting slips had been covered with a slanting hand.
Your Honour and gentlemen of the jury, I, Nipper Pierce, stand before you an humbled man. A victim to circumstances, drink, and evil companions. Oh, yes. If this don't have half the jury sobbing.
Nipper was not a successful pickpocket, and a lawyer's fee was out of the question. A few well-chosen words from Evans had often provided his defence.
Your Honour. Your Honour. As the far-famed Shakespeare once wrote, the quantity of mercy is not strange. Nipper the dip. He's a rogue. Still, I must do my best for a client.
As Evans laboured on the behalf of one fallen client, another was in the process of falling.
Ooh. Oh, darn it, I caught my sleeve now.
Well, now, Walter Clunes.
What's that? Oh. Oh, it's the Miller.
Losing your touch, Walter. It's not like you to fumble a job.
Job's harder? No. I've got friends here putting me up. You know how it is.
Oh, I know how it is, Walter. You better let me have that sack.
Well, all I needed was a bob or two, Miller. Just a decent steak for the Victoria Cup.
Oh, taking two horses, have you? Come on, then. Let's have a chat at Critchley Street.
Oh, no.
And at Critchley Street Police Station, Walter was formally charged.
Now let's have a look and see what...
It was also noted by the Miller, albeit privately, that much information was laid regarding the Victoria Cup. On the following morning, Evans delivered his duly completed defence to Nipper Pierce. The pride he took in these small works of fiction was considerable, and during a trial, the tipster would often hover nervously in a court anteroom.
Case dismissed.
Aye, aye. That must be Nipper's case over.
Yes, Your Honour. There's a man on my Harry Bridges noted. If he's done having driving there, we have four notes and a kipper.
Never. That can't be Nipper.
It's not strange.
I'm surprised you're here, Evans.
That defence of yours just added 6 months to young Percy's sentence.
You what? Yeah, you're fooling me, Mr. Miller.
Confounded twaddle, the judge said.
Confounded?
Accused him of wasting the court time and doubled the stretch.
God, and me up half the night writing it. Oh, it's downright injustice.
Nipper the dip. Yeah, come to think, he's the only loser you've tipped lately.
Yeah, true enough. Yeah, them last two horses, eh? Solid winners both and outsiders into the bargain.
They were indeed. Mind you, a third might round it up nicely.
Ah, I need a challenge. These races coming up, the favourites will win. Now, if I should care to practice me craft again, it's a rank outsider I'll be tipping. I need to cap myself.
Hmm. There's Erst Park. I've heard the Victoria Cup's wide open.
Have you now?
Popular race, too. On that Walter Clunes last night, stealing his stake money.
You've collared Walter? He's just done one stretch.
Yeah, and this one will be longer. I'll see you, Evans. You might keep the Victoria Cup in mind.
Yeah. I wouldn't fret yourself about that, Mr. Miller.
In truth, the Victoria Cup had already been earmarked by Evans. A challenge it most certainly was, for the form of most runners was uncertain. Once again, the lamp burnt late in his window as Evans considered the racing page of the evening news.
What's that? Can't be the Miller knocking. It's gone 11.
Evans thought rapidly. His most outstanding bills had been settled, but the tipster's habit in such matters was caution.
Who is it you want?
Hello? Mr. Evans? Oh, sir, do let me in. It's Walter's wife, Mrs. Clunes.
Walter Clunes, Mrs.? Well, I'm jiggered.
Oh, Mr. Evans.
Whatever's brought you here, Mrs. Clunes? It's coming up at midnight.
Oh, I'm that flummoxed, Mr. Evans. They've nabbed my Walter.
Yes, I've heard.
It'll be an Old Bailey case.
The Old Bailey?
Walter was hoping you might just say a few words as to his character.
Me? Myself, Mrs. Clunes?
Yes.
A few words? Well, I believe the correct terminological phrase for what's needed is a characteristic reference.
Yes. Yes, that's it exactly.
Mrs. Clunes, you better sit yourself down. Oh. I'll just pull this here bit of curtain.
Oh! The
dear.
Light's gone out.
I know, the darned old lamp. It always goes out in a draught.
Oh.
Never fret, Mrs. Clunes. I'll just open up this stove. There you are. We'll have enough light till I get the lamp going.
It was the tipster's misfortune that a certain Mrs. Rankin had that evening been tending a sick friend.
I don't.
Passing Bayham Mews on her return journey, she was just in time to see Mrs. Clunes arrive at the tipster's door.
Oh, Evans.
Mrs. Rankin had found it necessary to stay until the curtain was drawn. She was indeed still present to witness the oil lamp going out.
Well. A man in his position. Looseness. Oh, and a trim little miss he's found, too. Oh.
Late on the following morning, Evans left his rooms and was setting out for the dog and kettle. His attention, however, was caught by a most unusual activity in Bayham Mews. Harry Tilder, a near neighbour, was whitewashing the front of his property.
Well, now.
Evans, would you have half a tick? It's by way of business.
Business? Oh, how are you, Harry? Time on your hands, I see.
Time, Evans. Oh, I wish I had. Now, it's Mrs. Tilder. Whatever the wife can't buff and polish, I have to paint.
Well, if it's an hand you're wanting, Harry, I've more pressing concerns than the whitewash.
Oh, I'm sure you have, Evans. No, it's these racing tips of yours. Two big winners your name's been getting around.
Yes, I've had a run, Harry. It's humbling, really, this knack I've got.
Yeah, well, I was considering the Victoria Cup.
Tilder!
Oh, dear.
Harry, when I finds the race to test my talents, you're on the list.
Ah, thank you, Evans.
Harry Tilder!
Sure.
It's a whitewash brush, Harry. It tugs my heart.
Yeah. Coming, Beth.
Evans had now set off in even greater haste for the dog and kettle. His recent success had made him a man of some standing in the public bar, while his more recent failure to provide any tip whatsoever had severely lowered his funds. The bar, however, was now quiet, and the tipster's sole hope of a grateful client providing the bonus of a drink was the landlord himself, Joe Tasket.
Afternoon, Mr. Tasket.
Educated Evans. Two winners, eh?
True enough, Mr. Tasket. And there's some who happen to know the only turf advisor in Camden Town who tipped them.
I suppose you reckon an arse, Jew, and well, I dare say it is. Well, then again, we've not had your next tip yet.
Ah, these races around, Mr. Tasket, fodder for them lesser tipsters with no flair. I find them barely worth the trouble.
Barely worth the trouble? It's barely worth the trouble of serving you, then.
Hey, oi, Mr. Tasket.
In need of a drink, Evans?
Ah, Mr. Miller, well, as long as it's freely offered. As was said by Mark Antonius, yes, sir, offering the far-famed Cleopatra half his wealth he was. And you'll appreciate this, Mr. Tasket. A gift begrudged is no gift.
Give Evans his usual, Joe. Nothing for me. I've Inspector Pine waiting.
Oh, that's most civil of it.
Hmm. I hear that poor misguided mutt Wally Clunes is calling you to testify as to his character.
That's true enough, Mr. Miller.
Then a friendly nod, Evans. He'll be up before Justice Belfont.
Belfont?
Mm-hmm.
Belfont, the racing judge?
Lord Belfont, who stands no nonsense, Evans. One word out of place, it'll be you in the dock alongside Walter.
Yeah, but Justice Belfont, he's uncle to Jack Falston, Mr. Miller. The owner of Harlequin.
I've heard it said.
Well then, I needs the word on Harlequin. Jack Falston's so close, he's stuck together. But if I get to meet his uncle...
Lord Justice Belfont?
A fellow racing man, Mr. Miller. Harlequin and the Victoria Cup. We've a mutual interest.
Evans, you're out of your league. If you think Lord Belfont's going to hobnob with a tipster...
I shall hold my own with the tops, have no fear. Besides, it's the Old Bailey, isn't it? I'll be dressing very carefully.
Evans! I'll see you, Joe.
There's your drink, Evans.
Oh.
I believe I heard mention of the Victoria Cup.
Well, you might well have, Mr. Tasket. Yes, I believe the miller got me this. Your very good health.
Meanwhile, at Critchley Street Police Station, Inspector Pine had received a most unexpected visit from Mrs. Rankin. She had, moreover, insisted that an official complaint be registered.
Now, a matter of morals, Mrs. Rankin? Shameless occurrence in Bale Mews?
Indeed, Inspector.
Who precisely may be the offender?
Evans, Inspector. And him they call educated.
Evans?
A brazen young miss she was, knocking on doors at midnight. Oh, it wasn't 2 minutes later and the lamps turned off.
Oh, come.
Oh, I beg pardon, sir.
Sorry, Chandler. Not at all. We were just finishing.
Who was we?
Mrs. Rankin, I will, as ever, consider your complaint most carefully before our next meeting.
Inspector, it's the new Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, good day to you.
Yes, good day, good day. Oh, dear. What was it, Sergeant?
Yes, the Walter Clunes trial, Inspector.
Oh, yes, of course, Sergeant. Yes.
I believe we'll have just the one character witness, J.T. Evans.
Evans? Evans, his character witness?
Yes, that's so, sir.
But Mrs. Rankin's visit could not have been more timely, Sergeant. We can only discredit him.
Evans, Inspector?
Oh, indeed, Sergeant, yes. We've information to prove him a libertine, a corrupt and degraded womanizer.
Oh, no, Inspector, no. This is educated Evans, sir, the turf advisor.
Oh, exactly so, Sergeant. The tipster of Bayer Mews. Oh, if that man appears to testify, we can blacken him as the Casanova of Camden.
The Casanova?
Oh, yes. The Clunes case seems to be most satisfactory, Sergeant. Good work.
Yes.
Somewhat later, in the Dog and Kettle, Evans finally dipped into his own scant funds for a further half of mild.
Spending yourself now, Evans?
I am, Mr. Tarskett.
Evans? What? Oh, found you at last. Whatever's been going on?
Hurry, Tilda.
We've had that Mrs. Rankin round. Poking and a prying she's been. It's your loose morals she's on about.
Loose morals, me?
Yeah.
Well, there's a thing.
Well, I said to her, what's it matter if Evans has got a young lady friend?
What's that?
Never!
Evans, a man of your maturity.
Oh, that Mrs. Rankin, she's still with the missus now.
But this lady friend, I mean, it's hogwash, Harry.
Well, it's not that I mind, Evans, as far as I go. You have all these young girls round at midnight.
Young girls
round? I've never heard the like.
Evans, I thought you might still be here.
Oh, thank you. Mr. Miller, sir, you've no idea what lies and terror diddles I'm listening to. What would it be now?
I'm sorry, Evans, but it's Inspector Pine. Says he's come up with some sort of evidence against you.
Ha! The police are onto him now.
Well, I'm done.
Oh, but Mr. Miller...
Look, I didn't mean to catch you in company, Evans. Why don't we just step outside for a moment?
Oh, no!
Led off by a sergeant. If that's not proof enough.
Come on then, Miller. Let's get this nonsense straight. And you two, I'll be back for that half.
Off to you, Evans.
Oh, Joe.
Frankly, Harry, I've always had doubts about that tipster.
Have you now?
Yeah.
That evening, Evans sat at his table and tried to collect himself. By now, the entire clientele of the Dog and Kettle would have learnt of the tipster's supposed philanderings.
Courtesy of Joe Tarskett.
The neighbours, possibly for quite some streets around, would also have heard.
Courtesy of the Tildas. Oh, I hardly dare venture out. Still, Joe Tarskett and Tilda. If I can just find them one decent winner, they'd quieten down.
Given the trials of his day, Evans had almost forgotten his appearance at the Old Bailey the next morning.
Yes. Justice Belfont. If I can't get the word on the Victoria Cup out of that judge, well, I'm not fit to be called educated. The Old Bailey.
It was rather later that night when Inspector Pine himself passed Bear Mews. Harry Tilda had taken only his brush and bucket of whitewash indoors.
Oh. Well, now, a ladder set against an upper window. Oh, if a burglary is not in process, the ladder most certainly invites it. Ah, the window ajar, but no light. Yes. Well, so the ladder must be quite safe. Oh, Mortimer Pine. Duty calls of this.
Tilda! We've a peep in, Tom.
All right, too. And halfway up to the window.
Oh.
Don't you worry, Beth. I'll just push this here ladder away.
Hey, hey, no.
And there he goes.
You can have this bucket of whitewash, too.
Inspector Pine was trapped by the ladder. The bucket had caught his left foot.
Crushed by adversity.
Come on now, you wake the neighbourhood. What's all this about?
Shalala!
Well, I'm down, Inspector Pine. Sergeant?
You're a welcome, Sergeant. I've got this peeping Tom to report.
Peeping Tom?
Yeah, peering in at our bedroom window he was.
Shalala, you must help me.
Of course, Inspector.
Inspector?
Yes, Mr. Tilda, Inspector Pine. You'd recognise him if it weren't for the whitewash.
Evans, after the rigours of the previous day, had retired early and heard nothing of the disturbance outside in the mews. He awoke refreshed and prepared for Walter Clunes's trial with some thoroughness. His cracked mirror reflected an ever-increasing confidence.
Yes, this is it. It's the check trousers for the Old Bailey. Lemon tie with a gold horseshoe tie pin.
and a white bowler hat should set it off perfect. Ah, face to face with Mr. Justice Belfont, eh? My lord, yes, the Victoria Cup. A duty satiry word, perhaps?
In order to ration his few remaining coppers, Evans took the tram only partway to the Strand.
Southampton Road!
Thank you kindly.
My name goes, sir.
Oh, it's too warm today for these togs.
Off to a funfair, are you?
Yeah. Funfair. Some people have no idea of correct dress. I'd better shift myself.
Yes, I'm telling her. Took a spare moment.
Good morning, Inspector.
Yes, come in, come in, come in.
Managing all right with that crutch, sir?
One bears one's cross, Sergeant. In the course of duty, one must accept the occasional broken toe.
Oh, dear. Broken, was it, sir?
Indeed, sir, yes. Son, the Clunes case at the Old Bailey. I take it you'll ensure the blackening of that character witness, Evans, an immoral wastrel.
Yes, I meant to have a word with about that, sir.
There's a word, son.
Indeed, sir. A Mrs. Tilda seems anxious to press charges against a certain Peeping Tom.
Yes, well, it's... charges what, against myself? This is preposterous, Sergeant. There's no case.
Quite so, Inspector. Unfortunately, the charge itself might be made public.
Oh. It might be made public. The charge of Peeping Tom made public.
Mm. This blackening of a character with no foundation, sir. It's most disturbing.
Yeah. I see, Sergeant, yes.
Yes. I ought to be off to the Old Bailey, sir. I'm just wondering about the soundness of this so-called evidence against Evans.
Oh, indeed, indeed. Perhaps, Sergeant, I could leave both matters in your own safe hands.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. Thank you, thank you. Hold on.
A perspiring Evans, his checked trousers quite dusty from the walk, reached the Central Criminal Court himself. He paused, and fanning himself with the white bowler hat, entered the very hall of the Old Bailey. Even the urgent buzz of court business seemed to fall away on his arrival. There were, indeed, those who smiled.
Morning, Evans.
Why? Mr. Miller, sir, I was just considering, as it were, the way a professional man becomes known. It's off them barristers with their eye on me.
Yes. Now, listen, Evans. If you want to help Walter's case, remember, Justice Belfont won't take back chat.
Mr. Miller, as Kit Columbus once said, and him just about to discover America, I just set off and then hope for the best. You told me to keep the Victoria Cup in mind.
Evans... Evans!
At precisely 2:30 in the courtroom itself, Walter Clunes finally stepped into the dock.
And how does the defendant plead?
Oh, not guilty, Your Honour.
Not guilty.
Your Honour, the quantity of mercy is not
the
strange.
The defendant may be seated.
Oh. Justice Belfont would often appear anxious in court. His creased features, however, were seldom due to the case in progress, but a certain distress at missing a race meeting. Often he would mutter to himself.
Tiresome case.
It was a full hour before Evans was called to the witness box.
I swear that the evidence I shall give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Yes. Afternoon, all.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Evans.
Walter's counsel was a Mr. Chubble Chine. His hopes of Evans assisting his client's case were high and only slightly daunted by the tipster's appearance.
Mr. Evans, you are, I believe, professionally known as Educated Evans.
I am indeed, sir.
You are, in fact, a very well-known, sporting authority.
The sporting authority?
I believe, sir, in certain circles, I am known as that.
You are, furthermore, a turf advisor to my client.
Turf advisor? Excuse me, Mr. Chubblechine. Mr. Evans, would I be right in assuming that you're a tipster?
Well, yes, sir. The sporting prophet of Camden Town.
You select a race and then claim you'll predict the actual winner?
Oh, indeed I do. I do most assuredly, my dear lord.
Your affection's misplaced, Mr. Evans. I believe you're a swindler.
Swindler?
The infernal rascal. Evans, you're simply obtaining money under false pretenses.
False pretenses? But two solid winners I tipped last week, Your Honour. Just ask the defendant.
Oh, Evans, for pity's sake, pipe down.
The defendant himself will pipe down.
Your Honour, I really can predict a winner. Yeah, I mean, I'd take the Victoria Cup, for instance.
The Victoria Cup?
Well, I mean, there's some, for example, who think your nephew's horse, Harlequin, stands a chance.
Ooh, the audacity.
Then again, some say Coxcomb. Some support Red Ensign.
Coxcomb? Red Ensign? Not a ghost of a chance. Harlequin's on top form for tomorrow. He'll romp it.
Oh!
The phrase, which to those others within earshot was pure gibberish, was crystal clear to Evans.
Harlequin on top form. Oh, thank you very much, Your Honour.
Evans, stand down, sir.
Walter Clunes had paled considerably, and the jury's verdict, arrived at in some 10 minutes, was indeed...
Guilty!
Ah, yes, guilty. However, the fact that the unfortunate prisoner has no one to support his case but a swindling tipster is proof of his pitiful condition. The sentence will be the minimum. 3 months.
3 months?
Thank you, Evans. Oh, thank you, Evans.
Evans, flushed but contented, left the courtroom with no little speed. The miller was already waiting for him.
Well, Evans, you certainly got his sentence reduced. 3 months, eh?
Yes, Mr. Miller. Walter's got 3 months, and I've got a third winner.
The Victoria Cup?
Yes. And wasn't I right, Mr. Miller? Justice Belfont's a fellow racing man. We know how to talk to each other, you know.
Lord Belfont? You mean he actually told you?
Mr. Evans! Oh, I'm ever so grateful.
Mrs. Clunes.
Only 3 months and I'll have my water back.
Well, as was said by Alex the Great, Mrs. Clunes, and him that conquered the world, it's the least I could do.
Oh, come here, Evans.
Oh. Here, neck. Mrs. Clunes.
Now, Evans.
You know.
You'll excuse me, but I must get back for the kiddie. Oh, and thank you again, Mr. Evans.
Perhaps it's as well that Mrs. Rankin's not here.
Mrs. Rankin? As none of her rumours can worry me, now I've got the winner.
So, Evans, which horse is it?
Straight from the judge's mouth, Harlequin.
Yes! Harlequin, eh?
Mr. Miller, I've stood in a few courts in my time, and it's quite true there's judges and judges. But if Harlequin don't win the Victoria Cup, then I'm no judge of racing. Come on, Mr. Miller, we'd best find a bookmaker.
Indeed we have.
And the Victoria Cup was duly won by Harlequin. The bets placed in Camden Town had been many. Joe Tuskett was appeased, and Harry Tilda planned a full week's holiday with his wife in Southend. Evans, for his part, was seen in Fulbright's The Ironmongers. His purchase was a new oil lamp.
You've been listening to Educated Evans by Edgar Wallace, dramatised by Richard Quick, and narrated by Freddie Jones, starring Roy Hudd, Andrew Sachs, Michael Roberts and Pat Coombs, with David Batley as Joe Tuskett, Elizabeth Mansfield as Mrs. Clunes, Simon Treves as the judge, and Jeremy Brown as Mr. Chubblechine. The music was by Philip Glassborough and Rick Cardinale, and the programme was produced and directed by Dirk Maggs.